When I was growing up at 331 Eventide Drive, how you like that? Anybody ever live on Eventide Drive? Well, this was in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. My dad secured a small brass plate and he put it on our front door. And it said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He didn't care who knew where we stood as a family. Now at our home here in Roanoke, this scripture is on one of our walls because I'm not ashamed of it either. Amen. In Joshua 24, near the close of his life, Joshua gathers the nation of Israel together and he gives a farewell message. You'll read later in the chapter, he dies. Okay, so this is right at the end. And buddy, you're talking about a great speech that Joshua gave. By the way, he's one of my most favorite characters in the Bible. Served right along with Moses. And then when Moses died, he took over and God blessed him in so many ways. I've got two quick points today. One, we're going to get through real fast. I'm going to spend a lot of time on the second. Number one, he reviews their blessings. I'm not even going to point out the scripture. You can read it later, but this is verses 1 through 13. God had delivered the nation of Israel. They had once been slaves in Israel, but the Lord had set them free. How many have been set free from your sin, right? God had guided them. God had given them a new land. And that land is what they are trying to protect right now. We need to pray for Israel. Can I hear them? Amen right there. Pray for them right now. Any greatness that Israel ever achieved was not by her effort, but it's through God's grace. They are his chosen people. Every conquest they've had, every deliverance they've had, all their prosperity is all because of God's mercy. All that he does for them and did for them is because he loved them. And when the Jews started taking their blessings for granted, by the way, how many of you have ever done that? When they started doing that, guess what? They began to drift away from worshiping the one true God. And believe it or not, they allowed idols and worshiping false God to enter into their lives. It's crazy. So I want to remind you, stay grateful for all that he's done. And let's review our past blessings. God's been good to all of us. And we could go on and on, just like that song says, I could go on and on with how good he's been to me. So that's what Joshua does. He reviews their past blessings. Number two, I'm already on my second point. How many say amen right there, all right? My second and last point. Just wait. I got we still got a while to go. Okay, number two. He rehearses their responsibilities. Okay, since you've been given all these great blessings, here's some responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. Look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord. We don't have a lot of fear of God these days, do we? And serve him in sincerity and in truth. That means don't do it half-hearted. Do it wholeheartedly. Sincerity and truth. Okay, here it is. Read it with me. Ready? And put away the gods, idols, which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Say it with me. Ready? And serve ye the Lord. He told them to renounce their idols. Serve the living God. His message started out positive, but it's also negative. He's shooting out both barrels of his gun. And this is a good revival message. That's why I started the service off with revive us again. That's what he's calling them to. Nation of Israel, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep serving him. Fear him. You need revival. And I'm here to tell you, Gospelite needs revival. That's the purpose of this message today. Let's reflect on his blessings. He's been so good to us, but now we've got some responsibilities. Then he gave the invitation to action. Look at verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you, in other words, if you refuse to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. In other words, he's saying, do you prefer them? Or will it be the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell? Choose you who you're going to serve. I don't know which God you're going to serve, but you need to be serving the living God, Jehovah. Joshua makes this very clear. They couldn't do both. You can't serve the living God, Jehovah, and also serve these other gods that were here on the other side of the flood or the present ones that you have right now, the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell right now. If they served the Lord, they had to get rid of the false gods that some of them were secretly worshiping. He knew that if the Jews did not worship the true God, that they would end up worshiping the false gods that the wicked Canaanites worshiped. So a choice had to be made. Joshua declares where he stands. Look at the closing statement in verse 15. Say it with me. I've already said it once. Ready? But as for me and my house, my family, we will serve the Lord. It was high time for decision. Joshua knew the weakness of Israel. He remembered that in the past they had promised to serve God. Remember them saying to Moses, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. In other words, they were basically telling Moses, we will never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. Guess what, church? Are you listening? 40 days later, they were worshiping a golden calf. So their words, that oh boy, they might have seemed genuine, but their heart was not behind those words. They were living in peaceful coexistence with the world. And sadly, the church today, we live in peaceful coexistence with the world, the flesh, and the old devil. Ooh, it's getting quiet in the Baptist church. Sometimes you can't recognize the church from the world. There needs to be a distinction. Amen? That's what he's telling them. You can't serve both the gods of this world and the true and living God. So I think about idolatry today. You say, well, we don't worship idols. I've never bowed down and worshiped a statue. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the love of money. The Bible says it is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but the love of money. Greed, covetousness. We can go on and on. How about this? The love of sports and entertainment. Looking forward to your next vacation, your next adventure. And that's your full focus. When are we going to have fun next? Hey, don't pursue happiness. Pursue holiness and you'll be happy. Amen? How about this one? The love of technology. Some of you got one in your hand right now. Smartphones, video games. I mean, it's almost like we worship them as an idol because we spend so much time on them. How about this one? The love of possessions. We spend money on things and we rob God of what's His. You need to give 10% in that offering plate. 10% of what you make. That's all God asks for. He's letting you keep 90% of it. But instead, we got to get more and more and more stuff and things, and we disobey God. How about the love of sensual pleasures, dirty movies, pornography, committing sexual acts outside of marriage? That is still ungodly in 2025. Thank you, Myron. I appreciate it. You're the only one that agrees. No, sensual pleasure is not supposed to be outside the bonds of marriage. That's the way God designed it. How about the love of ourselves? Remember this phrase, follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. It's wicked. It's deceitful. But that's a philosophy going around. So those are idols in our lives. Now the people responded to Joshua. Look at verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. In other words, they're saying, Joshua, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. Sounds a lot like the people back in Moses' day. Look at verse 18, the last part. Therefore, will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Does that sound good, y'all? Yeah. Woo. Verse 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Sounding pretty good. Look at verse 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Sounds like revival. But it was not enduring. It didn't last. The last verse of the very next book of Judges, y'all remember what it says? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Does that sound like people following God? No, they're just doing anything they please. And say, God will be okay with my sin. God will be okay with the way I live, even though it's not according to his word. And a lot of people live that way. So that's where the American church is. We're coexisting with evil. We have a lot of superficial religious activity, but not a lot of spiritual depth. And I want to caution our church, let's not go that direction. Let's make sure we're spending time in the garden with Jesus every day, and that we are genuine. In verse 19, Joshua seems to throw some cold water over their dedication. Look at verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, he's trying to warn them, ye cannot, in other words, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or rebellion, nor your sins. In other words, Joshua reminds them, God's holy, God is jealous, he will not tolerate any rivals in your heart. He will not look upon sin. He will not share the throne of our hearts with another. Does that make sense? Shake your head if you're with me. Ready? Joshua is challenging their cheap dedication. He states very plainly, you're going to have difficulty keeping this promise that you made in 16, 18, 21, 24. I've seen people in the altar on Sunday morning come up to me after service, say how much the message spoke to them, say they would be back on Wednesday night, and I haven't seen them since. The FBI couldn't find them if they tried. You say, why is that, preacher? Why would they come forward, make a decision, and then just drop out? Well, it's easier said than done. I've had people come up to me after a message and say, boy, that was wonderful. And then go off, leave the church, and partake in the very sin that I just preached against. So how is that message so wonderful if it's not impacting our lives? Oh, I just like to hear a good one, preacher. Shoot out of both barrels. Preach against sin, but then I'm going to go and live any way I want to. See, that's not true revival. And that's what the nation of Israel was going through. On one occasion in John 2, it happened to Jesus too, verse 23 and 24, look up, I think it's on the screen. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. That's the most important phrase right there. When they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Wow. In other words, here's what that last verse is saying. Jesus did not trust him or trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature. He knew what was in everybody's heart. And that tells me that Jesus did not accept their profession. It was a cheap commitment. See, it's one thing to respond to a miracle. It's quite something else to commit yourself to Jesus and continue in His Word. Because you're going to hear Jesus speak, and you're going to read His Word, and we're going to allow those words to penetrate our hearts, and then conviction's going to come, and that conviction leads to a true conversion, not a false profession. We're going to be truly born again. Then people, I tell you, this is what happened in the Bible. In Jesus' time, people who came face to face with Jesus, they had to decide. And most of them, just like today, are you ready for this? They decided against Jesus. And He knew that. Even though on the surface, if we'd have been at that meeting, we'd have seen all these people come and make a profession, but they did not have a possession in their heart. They just came to watch the show, see the miracles, eat the food, be entertained. All right, look at verse 20. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, idols, then He will turn against you and do you hurt and consume or destroy you. After that, and that means even though He hath done you good. He's been so good to you. Can we all say that? He's been so good to us. See, it's easy to promise obedience to the Lord. Quite another thing to actually do it. And I tell you, a visit to the woodshed is coming when we disobey the Lord. How many still believe in discipline from a holy God? If you are truly a child of God, you will be disciplined when you sin. This took place in Shechem. Years before, a revival had taken place in Shechem with Jacob. He had wandered from Bethel and got in trouble. God commanded him, y'all remember that there's a song about it, go back to Bethel. Dwell there. Make an altar to God. Get right with the Lord. And Jacob obeyed. He ordered his family to put away the strange gods, change their garments, return to the place of blessing. Okay, are y'all listening? We'll make sure you listen to this. Jacob did not ask his family whether or not they wanted to go. He didn't take a vote. There are men all over this country. Okay, I'm preaching to men now, fathers. There are men all over this country who asked their wives late last night or early this morning, honey, are we going to go to church today? How sad. Think about it. Men, step up and lead your family in the things of God. Jacob went back, buried those strange gods under an oak tree. You ought to read the story. Maybe we need to throw away some of the stuff out of our lives. Men, you just need to step up and be a man of God for your family, for the sake of our church, for the sake of Jesus. Let me remind you, what we do in moderation, our children will do in excess. Let me explain. I got a fly. That's the devil. The fly's flying around. He doesn't like what I'm preaching today. What we do in moderation, our children will do in excess. Remember the story, remember my illustration of the three chairs that I've spoke on before? Seems like each generation it goes down in obedience to God and following Him. I'll just give you some examples. If you drink a little beer, you drink alcohol socially, then your kids most likely will be addicted to it. That's just the way it works. You watch soft porn, your kids will most likely be addicted to hardcore pornography. You have a dirty mouth on occasion, your kids will most likely have a filthy mouth. You abuse your spouse and kids verbally, guess what? Your kids will probably abuse their spouses and children physically. Do you see how it works? What we do in moderation, they're going to do in excess. You go to church when it's convenient, Sunday morning only, and just occasionally. Guess what? Your kids are not going to go to church at all. Hey, they have no reason to hold Sundays up in high regard if you don't. Everything comes first, and then, oh, if we have enough time, if we can clear our calendar, we'll go to church. Your kids are not even going to go to church. It's amazing how a man can get up early for a fishing trip or go to a golf match, but then they tell me 10 a.m. is too early for connection group, preacher. I just can't make it. Can't come at 10. Or then they'll tell me, oh, I'm so tired that I can't come to church on Wednesday night after working all day. How sad. But that's where we are, the American church. And that kind of Christianity makes Jesus throw up. Revelation 3 says you're neither hot nor cold. I'd rather you be one or the other. But don't be halfway in and halfway out. And guess what the advice that Jesus gave to that church of Laodicea in Revelation 3? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Put away these crazy things, all the things I mentioned, maybe stuff I didn't mention. Bad music, bad TV shows, I don't care what it is, whatever the Lord is convicting you of right now. Put those things away. Stand up and be a man. Lead your family in the things of God. All I know is we need to be in a right relationship with Jesus. We are to be a disciple ourselves before we can help someone else be a disciple. That's been our theme all year. But yet if we're trying to coexist with the world, how in the world are we going to reach somebody else and make disciples if we're not a disciple ourselves? It's time for us to get back to the place of God's blessings. We cannot live just like the world and reach the world. Reach people with Jesus. Let's get rid of that junk, the sin in our lives. Let's be zealous. Let's repent. Then we'll be able to influence those around us. At work, those in our neighborhood, those in our families that need Jesus, those at the grocery store, at Walmart. We'll also love everybody that comes in through the doors of this church. We are blessed with guests every week. How many believe God can change anyone through his power? But you got to make a choice. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Quit playing games. Quit being half-hearted. That's what Joshua was telling them. Now, Joshua gloried in the past. That was the first point. But he also called them to return to the Lord. Fear him. Serve him wholeheartedly. I don't believe the church of Jesus Christ is dead. Do y'all? It's alive and well. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I want to remind you, this church stands firm on the word of God. Can I hear an amen? This church believes Jesus is the only way to salvation. Good. This church believes that we are to live holy, separated lives. This church believes we are to win the lost and to disciple them. We just need revival. We're emphasizing everything else except revival. And that's a trick of Satan to keep us off track. He wants us picking on each other instead of fighting the true enemy. The true enemy is not the person sitting next to you. Or probably they're not sitting next to you. You're sitting over here and they're sitting way over there. They're not your true enemy. Guess who the true enemy is? It's Satan. It's the world. It's your flesh. Those are the enemies. He wants us majoring on minor things. He wants to disrupt the sweet unity that we enjoyed this past week at Vacation Bible School. It was one of the sweetest weeks we've ever had. Workers got along. Even the kids behaved. Can I hear an amen right there? It was wonderful. But Satan doesn't like that. He wants to destroy the unity. He wants to destroy our church, and he's going to look for any way that he can get in and wreak havoc. Now, I want to glory in the blessings of the past upon our church. But I also want to call on you to turn from your idols and return to God. You say, idols are not mentioned in the New Testament. Oh, yes, they are. 1 John says, little children, keep yourself from idols. What is in your life right now that has preeminence over your relationship with Jesus? That is an idol. I mentioned some before. You fill in the blank, however the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And revival can come when we pray something like this. Y'all remember this song? Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast down every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. That's what real revival is. It's a new beginning of obedience to God. How many of you can go back and change your past? I don't see any hands. But you can have a fresh start today. And you can ask forgiveness for those things in your past or things you're dealing with right now and have a fresh start. But you got to make that decision. By the way, it's a personal decision. But as for me, that's what Joshua said. He looked in the mirror first. He said, but as for me first and my house, my family, we're going to serve the Lord. We need men in our church to step up and say that. Just determine, I'm going to lead my things and I'm going to lead my family in the things of God. I'm going to put him first. We need homes where dad is the head and mom is the heart. Where we're bringing up children in the nurture, the training, and admonition, the correction of the Lord. Do you know many Christian homes are a mess? Sad to say, if you want a great nation, if you want a great church, if you want a great family, it starts with individuals. It starts with daddies. Happy Father's Day. God's been good to you, but you got some responsibilities. He's put you in that place of leadership to lead your family in the things of God. We need men who are in love with Jesus and not ashamed of it. Who call their families away from idols to serve the living God. Who are leading their families back to Bethel, like Jacob, to the house of God and his blessings. It's time to man up. Stop being a wimp, guys. Get your tail in church Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for some Bible study. 11 o'clock. Get here on Wednesday night. Get fed and say, I'm going to make this a priority because I love Jesus and I'm going to put him first. Here's what we need, y'all, and I'm almost done. Men who protect the woman under his care. If you'll protect the woman under your care, she will not be able to resist you. Hallelujah. And you're going to have each other to meet your sexual needs. There will not be a need for you to look for somebody else if you'll do your job and care for her like fine china. Children are going to look up to you with confidence because they see you reading God's word every day. They see you praying. They're going to love and respect you. Other men in the church are going to look to you as someone to imitate. Boy, that guy is a model of strong Christianity. Do you see how you can impact so many people? Your sweet wife, your kids, the other men in our church? How about this one? A true man of God is going to hold back corruption. He's going to preserve the culture around him. That's what the Bible means when we are the salt of the earth. A true man of God will hold back corruption. His church is going to call upon him for strength and leadership. He knows and understands that God never said that living a godly life was going to be easy, but it would be worth it. And this man dominates all opposition that rises against him. He puts on his armor daily, and he stands against the wiles of the devil, the cunning ways of our enemy. He glorifies Jesus and advances his kingdom. Men, we are in a battle. No, let me rephrase that. Men, we are in a war. We affect others based on the way we live. And we are representatives of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have such a higher purpose. Our lives impact so many. And you can either lead those in your care to a place of safety or you're going to lead them to a place of chaos. But God's word teaches how to guide our families, make wise decisions, align our life to God's will as we lead our families. Men, will you join me in declaring today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you say that with me? Ready? As for me and my house, family, we will serve the Lord. Men, that's the responsibility that we have before us today. Oh, we can glory in the blessings, but with all those blessings, he's been so good to us. We've also got some responsibility. I want to ask for men to come forward this morning and say, you know what? I'm tired of playing games. I want to get serious. I want to man up. I've been a wimp asking my wife if we're going to go to church or not. No, we're going. I want to honor God. I want to spend time in the secret place with him. I want to have revival in my life. Men, would you join me in the altar? I'm going to be the first one here because I need it. Let's stand together. Lord, bless this invitation. May we have true men of God in this church. Lord, help us to rise up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, please work in our men today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you come, men?